Series are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome, listeners. It's currently 16 degrees outside here in the great city of Fairbanks and 65 degrees in the studio.
Like, good morning, everyone.
Cindy's like wearing my stocking cap and her fur coat and bundled up. And I don't know, we're probably going to have to start doing calisthenics in here because it's incredibly cold. It sucks.
It's really cold.
This is different than the summertime when the sun's blaring through the window and it's like a terrarium in here, but we'll survive.
I think it's warmer outside than here in the studio.
No, but yeah. Still, I mean, I'll have to like warm my fingers up, but... Well, anyways, yeah, welcome to Shooter's Corner.
Start hearing chattering. It's my teeth. It's not me eating candy.
Or unwrapping wrappers or something rappers. Like she normally does when yeah. Microphone's in front of her. But, hey, check this out. We got Teresa running the board for us today because Matt foot bailed on us because he's weak. But anyways.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yeah, we were kind of worried at first. We didn't know if anybody was going to be here. And it was like, okay, I'll just...
We thought Chuck was going to have to run the board.
And I can do that. I just know how to mash buttons. Like, it's an infantry thing. Button, good, yeah.
We're going to be in trouble. Chuck runs that board.
No, we'll be fine. Hey, but you can always call into the show if you have any questions or comments. 458-TALK, that's 907-458-8255. You can also live stream us at any time if you're out of state using your, I don't know, Starlink or whomever or whatever or whatever. But you can get on KFARradio.com, click on that big orange ball that says listen live. Also, we have apps. That's right. Ooh. Shooter's Corner has apps. Well, KFAR does, but yeah, during 11 to 12, it's us, so it doesn't matter. and that's pretty cool. Go to the App Store for your Android or your iPhone, and you can download that, and you can listen live. It's free for anywhere in the world. Free.
No charge.
It's free 99. So thank you, Teresa, for running the board for us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Let's get our show started. I think Ice Cube just formed in the back of my throat. I don't know what just happened there, but it's like...
Do I need to do CPR?
No, we haven't got to that point yet.
Okay. My CPR is still certified. I'm still certified.
You know that doesn't like it... That's just a marketing scheme, Cindy. Like
I know.
You don't lose the skill of doing CPR the minute your CPR expires. Oh, I'm decertified. Sorry. Just sit there and die. No. The expectation is perform it. That's just, yeah, okay. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right, just a couple reminders here. The Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be April 9th from 5:30 to 7, and that will be over at the TVSA range over at 1230 TVSA Way. That's in the city of Fairbanks. That's over there across from Fred Meyer's West on Airport Way.
Well, we may have some new listeners, so tell them what the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program.
Mentorship?
Yes, mentorship program. I'm so frozen, I can't talk.
I know, it's like eating ice cream in here.
It is.
Like, my tongue bit further. Like. Yeah. So the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program is put on by Mike Hondas and his band of merry men. Anyways, what they teach more than anything is new people coming up to the state of Alaska, not Fairbanks, state of confusion. They come up to Alaska and they teach them outdoor survival skills in the state because a lot of people might hunt in lower 48. There's a different dynamic up here in the city or the state of Alaska. Why am I stuck on a city thing? But anyways, one of them
in
days,
the state of Alaska.
Yes. So but they'll have classes. They did. A class for bear baiting. They might have a class on where the caribou herds are.
Women,
men, and I've seen kids there before too. Yes. So yeah, it's open to everybody. So thank you, Cindy, for bringing that up.
And
yeah,
yes, we
definitely
want
not
out.
Just a men thing. Like
a shout out to Mike. It was his birthday.
Oh
yesterday.
Yeah, Mike, happy birthday, Mike. He's 61.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a young guy still. Mm-hmm. 61. That, well, that was the numbers that were on the cake. I mean, I don't think it, I'm not dyslexic, so he's not 16. So we're good there, right?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. TVSA, are we done with that?
We're done with that. Let's move on.
All right. TVSA will be having its spring 2026 gun show on April 18th and 19th. That's, oh, guess where that's located at?
TVSA Range.
Yeah, over 1230 TVSA Way here in Fairbanks. That's absolutely right.
And that's for men and women, too.
Yeah, everybody. Bring everybody. So the show times will be from 10 to 5 on that Saturday and from 11 to 4 on Sunday. And admission will be $5 per adult, $4 for active military. And that's a fundraiser that kind of helps subsidize TVSA and stuff to be able to run all the awesome programs that they have over there for youth shooting and those kind of things. All right, so tables are sold out. So last we heard. And then they have memberships as well. So we'll bring that up after a break here because I got to pull that up on my app. I forgot to put that in my notes here. Anyways, but they have public shooting hours over there as well over at TVSA. So that's every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is $5 for members and $20 for non-members. So it's a good range over there. Also remember that C4 Training Group, that's at c4traininggroup.com, is hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit here in Fairbanks, Alaska on June 20th and 21st. That exclusive immersive training event is designed to sharpen your defensive skills using ASP, that's Active Self-Protection's evidence-based techniques. So they were two instructors will be coming up from the lower 48 for that. That's Neil Widener and Chris Bean. You can go to our website at c4traininggroup.com and get the link there, or you can go directly to activeselfprotection.com/shop and sign up for that class. The Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class by C4 Training Group, we hold it over at Alaska Ammo. Next class will be the 11th and 12th of April. There was only one slot left for that, one ticket available. So jump on there.
And if you need to get on a wait list, give Chuck a call. And
well, you can call our Grasshopper number that's on there, 844-9mm-40 Smith & Wesson.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
oh.
I intentionally did that. Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
You're cool. You're pretty cool.
I'm
think of
freaking
that.
Cold right now. So I'll take the cool thing.
Would you like your hat back?
I appreciate the, you know, my love language is words of encouragement. So yes. I appreciate that. I don't need my hat back. You're good. All right, let's talk about this week in firearms history. We'll get through that and then we'll go into our first break. All right, April 3rd, 1855, Roland White. I talked about him a little bit before because he did a bored through revolver cylinder. But so in April 3rd, which was tomorrow. Okay.
He was tomorrow, Chuck.
Yeah, he was a New England gunsmith. He was granted U.S. patent that was titled Improvement in Repeating Firearms. The patent described a revolver cylinder bored completely through from end to end, allowing metallic cartridges or paper cartridges to be loaded from the rear instead of ramming them down the muzzle of each chamber. So that's pretty cool. So that's like the modern revolvers we have now where you can just drop metal cartridges, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty cool. So, this simple change was revolutionary. It enabled fast rear reloading or loading, eliminated the need for separate percussion caps on every shot, and dramatically improved reliability and speed of fire. Hiram Berdan received the patent for his primer. I thought I wanted to bring this up. So, Hiram Berdan. So, everybody knows the difference between a Boxer and a Berdan primer? Oh, no, you don't. Well,
no,
that's interesting.
Please
Chuck,
tell
please
me.
Tell me.
Chuck,
more.
Please
yeah.
tell me.
Because I'm cool. All right.
Fill me
he
with
actually,
some knowledge.
Berdan actually received his patent on his primer in March 20th, right? So we're a little bit behind the power curve, but that was in 1866. The patent was titled Improvement in Priming Metallic Cartridges. It was a foundational patent that introduced the Berdan primer system. It was an anvil integral to a cartridge case with the primer cap pressed into a recessed pocket, much like you normally see now, right? Okay. A later design refinement was issued on September 29th, 1868, but the original and most important patent date is March 20th, 1866. The patent was assigned to the Berdan Firearms Manufacturing Company shortly after issuance. It quickly led to commercial production by the Union Metallic Cartridge Company and became the dominant center fire primer design in Europe and much of the world, while the U.S. eventually standardized on the rival Boxer primer for easier hand loading. This is like the 1800 version of the VHS and Betamax. Betamax, like, sucked. Didn't he have, like, a smaller, like, I don't know. VHS kind of, like, got the...
So how can you compare the two? Explain that to me.
Oh, stand by. I will get to that. I have 1 minute left before to do that. The Burnett system was cheaper and easier to mass produce at the time because the anvil was part of the cheaper-to-make cartridge case. The Union Metallic Cartridge Company began using it in 1867. It quickly became the dominant primer in Europe and most of the world outside of the United States, hence the ironic nickname, the American invention that conquered the world except America. By contrast, British Colonel Edward Boxer patented his primer design shortly afterwards, about 1866, 1867, in the Boxer primer. So the anvil was built inside the primer cup itself. There's usually one central flash hole in the case, and that made it easier for hand loaders to remove and replace the primer, the big reason the U.S. standardized on the Boxer. So if you think about it, the Burdan literally had two or more firing holes, channels, right? You've seen the bottom of a case, right?
Yes.
Where it's one hole, center fire. Well, you'd put that center primer in there, but there might be two or more holes for that flash to go through to ignite the powder.
Okay.
Right? Whereas the Boxer was one singular hole, right? So the Burdan primer is still used today in much of the world's military and commercial ammunition, especially the 7.62x39, the 5.45x39, and many European rifle and pistol cartridges. It remains reliable and rugged, though less convenient for reloaders than the Boxer. In short, Hiram Burdan's primer was a quiet but massive leap forward in ammunition reliability during the transition from percussion caps to self-contained metallic cartridges, and it's still going strong more than 150 years later. And with that, pending Cindy's questions, we have to go into our first break. Awesome. Good job. No questions. And your hands are cold. All right.
Yes.
Not that anybody should know that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this first commercial break here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Teresa running our board for us. We'll be right back, 97.5, 660 AM.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it have a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts? We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service, too. Family-owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 33. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows of a low around 9 above. High temperatures reach up to 33 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back to Shooter's Corner here with Chuck. Cindy and Teresa are lovingly running our board for us and rubbing her hands. I think we're going to start a fire in here. It has got up to 66 degrees now. So yeah. We have improvement. Got the sniffles? You're still good?
It's pretty chilly in here.
Yeah. For those of you who are just joining us, you're here with Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Cindy. And Matt Foot bailed on us. But whatever. He sucks.
not nice.
I hope he's listening. Anyways, you're here with us in Fairbanks. We're at 16 degrees and just a few degrees warmer than that in the studio here. Budget cuts. That sucks.
Fuel costs.
I think the owner of the building was like, fuel is $5 a gallon. Like, we're cutting back.
Every time we go to war, it's like the fuel jumps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a totally different topic.
2022. I know.
Wars, $2 a gallon.
Yeah.
Whatever. We keep talking. Cindy, if you keep talking, like, we might get to 68 before the end of the show.
I see my breath.
It went down.
It did go back down to 65. Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyways, we just got done talking about the Berdan and Boxer designs. And what's really cool about this, I want to just cover this because this is pretty cool. I had heard of people before saying that they could reload the Berdan primers. And yes, you can. It's very, I would say, it's, the level of difficulty is definitely increased on that. So the two small off-center flash holes instead of the one large central hole makes depriming probably the biggest problem. So it can be tricky. And so how some people have done it before is this. So this is pretty cool. The hydraulic method. I had not heard of this one before. I know the other ones where they just basically dig the primer out. But the hydraulic method is most popular. Whether you fill the water with the case with water, seat it in a resizing die or a special holder, then drive a closed fitting or punch down the neck.
A fitting rod. You forgot the word rod. Or punch.
Down the neck. The incompressible water forces the primer out. It's messy but effective and doesn't damage the anvil. There's also RCBS makes a dedicated Berdan decapping tool, which looks like a bottle opener with a spike and a lever. You hook the primer rim, pry it out. Other homemade pry tools or gouges also work. Some people use a small punch to pierce one side of the primer cup and lever it out carefully. And to reprime that same type of casing, because it is that case is designed with that for that with the multiple holes for the flash, you need the actual Berdan primers, not Boxers. These are available from specialty suppliers like RWS out of Europe, but they're expensive and hard to find in the U.S. Seating them with a standard priming tool or hand primer, but you must align them precisely so the cup crushes correctly against the built-in anvil. All right, so cool. They do make some sleeves to where you can – oh, there's other people that have actually drilled out and made like one single hole, and then – they make a sleeve to where you can actually use those like a Boxer primer in there as well. So anyways, for those of you who reload, then now you know. For the rest of you, it's like Paul Harvey. Now you know the rest of the story.
Okay.
So, holy cow. I just remember the dude's name. Remember that one show we had like a little while back? I couldn't remember who Paul Harvey was.
Yeah. I kept saying that. At the end of the show.
That's that flash of genius. Maybe it's you. You spawned it. I don't know. Let's go to our editorial for the week. Because I always have to come up with something new. But what do we have going on this week? This is our holy week. If you think about it, right?
It is.
Because what do we have?
We've got Easter coming up on Sunday.
We do. So as Easter approaches, believers around the world pause to remember the single most transformative event in human history, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Roughly 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem under Roman occupation, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a Friday, nailed to a cross between two criminals, as recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He died. His body was placed in a sealed tomb. Roman guards stood watch. But by every earthly measure, the story was over. Then came Sunday. The Gospels declare with eyewitnesses detail that the tomb was found empty. The stone had been rolled away. Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene, then to the disciples, then to more than 500 others. That's covered in 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. He ate with them, spoke with them, and commissioned them, go and make disciples of all nations. What looked like total defeat became the ultimate victory over sin and death. As Apostle Paul later wrote, death has been swallowed up in victory. That victory did not stay confined to Jerusalem. From a handful of frightened followers, Christianity exploded across the Roman Empire and eventually the globe. It became the foundation of Western civilization core ideas, the inherent dignity of every human being created in the image of God, Genesis 1:27, the rule of law, the sanctity of life, and the concept of liberty itself. Hospitals, universities, the abolition of slavery, and the very notion that government exists to protect God-given rights, not to grant them, trace our moral roots to the empty tomb. Today, more than 2 billion people claim Jesus as Lord. His resurrection literally reshaped history, ethics, and human freedom. Now consider this in the context of the firearms world we inhabit in the United States today. The Second Amendment is not a modern political invention. It is an expression of the same God-given right to self-defense and liberty that flows from the biblical worldview Jesus affirmed. Scripture itself recognizes the moral duty to protect innocent life. In the Old Testament, Exodus 22:2-3, makes clear that defending one's household is not murder. In the New Testament, Jesus himself told his disciples, "If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one." Luke 22:36. He was not endorsing aggression. He was equipping his followers for the real world, where evil exists and must sometimes be met with force. Jesus' death and resurrection stand as the ultimate picture of sacrificial love and triumphant hope. He laid down his life so that others might live free from the tyranny of sin. In the same spirit, the American tradition of the armed citizen is rooted in the conviction that free men and women must be able and willing to defend life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rights, the Declaration of Independence declares, are endowed by their Creator. Today, we face renewed efforts to restrict that right. Waiting periods, magazine bans, red flag laws, and calls to disarm law-abiding Americans under the banner of public safety. Yet the historical lesson of Easter is clear. Darkness seemed to win on Good Friday. The powers of the age celebrated. Then the stone rolled away. What looked like defeat became victory. That same resurrection power still works in the hearts of those who cherish freedom. The Second Amendment endures not because politicians allow it, but because it reflects a deeper truth, an armed moral, and responsible citizenry is the final safeguard of liberty. Let me read that again. The Second Amendment endures not because politicians allow it, but because it reflects a deeper truth, an armed, moral, and responsible citizenry is the final safeguard of liberty. Just as the early Christians refused to surrender their faith despite persecution, today's shooters and Second Amendment supporters refuse to surrender their God-given right to keep and bear arms. This Easter, as we celebrate the risen Savior, let us also renew our commitment to the liberties he inspired or helped inspire. The cross reminds us that sacrifice is sometimes required to secure freedom. The empty tomb reminds us that no earthly power, not Rome then, not government overreach now, can ultimately prevail against truth and hope. From all of us here at Shooter's Corner, happy Easter. May the same power that raised Jesus from the dead strengthen and preserve the right to defend ourselves, our families, and our constitutional republic. Keep your powder dry and your faith strong.
That was really nice.
Thanks. We had to put something about Easter. We had to tie it back to, it's Shooter's Corner. Back to the Second Amendment. You know what I mean? I like the idea that we have our God-given rights here in this country.
We
do. There's a lot of other countries. You and I have lived in other countries as well where they do not have that right. And we see that constantly happening now as well. If you follow the local, not the local news, but the national news, international news, you can see now to where, I think it was the Ministry of Public Safety or whatever they call them up there in Canada, but now they had said basically, I think it was only a 2% or less than 2% of people actually said that they would register their guns in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was 0.2%. And everybody was like, okay, so what are you going to do now? Nobody complied with that. Probably nobody in America would comply with a gun registration at a national level either, right? A lot of them would be like, well, what are you talking about? My gun's fell in Chino Lakes, right?
Right.
That was a boating accident.
Yeah.
But that guy actually was literally well, That's what the RCMP is going to do. We're going to have them go house to house. And I'm like, wow.
And that's ruining our Second Amendment.
Well, that's Canada.
Yeah.
We haven't got to that point yet here.
No, we are
trust
getting
me,
to that close.
If they could pull it off, they would do the same thing here.
Well,
because it's not about this gun violence, because there is no gun violence. There's people violence.
Yeah.
Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner. We have to go into our mandatory half-hour break. And, yeah, we'll be right back here with Shooter's Corner, Chuck and Cindy. 97.5, 660 AM.
You can now find the legendary KFAR on the FM dial at 97.5.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm John Saucier. President Trump is replacing Attorney General Pam Bondi. Deputy AG Todd Blanche will next serve as the acting. He writes on social media, in part, Pam Bondi led this department with strength and conviction, and I'm grateful for her leadership and friendship. Part of President Trump's post on Truth Social reads, we love Pam, and she'll be transitioning to a much-needed and important new job in the private sector. Bondi had faced criticism for her handling of the Epstein files release. Police in Florida releasing body cam footage of the arrest of golf legend Tiger Woods after a car accident last weekend.
Go ahead and bring your feet towards you. All the way further. How much have you had to drink today?
None.
Do you take any medication?
The sound there, courtesy of the Martin County Sheriff's Office. Woods was arrested on DUI charges. The former Masters champion announced that he'd be stepping away from golf in order to seek treatment. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports before the legislative session even began, lawmakers from across the aisle have been asking the developers of the LNG pipeline for more information to pass laws. Now the developers say they just may get it, but there's a catch. We would love to give you more detail, Mark Begich, a former U.S. senator and now Dunleavy-hired proponent for the gas line, told the Senate Resources Committee Monday. I'll be very frank with you all here. We'd love to do some work in executive session with you because there's some proprietary information. Before the legislature, a hefty property tax bill drafted by Governor Mike Dunleavy, granting property tax exemptions for the gas line for upwards of 10 years and substantially reducing taxes after the ramp-up period ends. According to the Revenue Department, numbers presented during several hearings last week and on Monday's Senate Resources meeting, the tax relief cuts billions in revenue state and local governments would receive if statutes were not changed. If lawmakers can't get either bill passed and signed by the end of the session in May, the legislation dies.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems. Prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
Enter Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. You could win a $50 gift card by uploading your favorite ice fishing photo to their Facebook page. Prizes are awarded every Tuesday, March 10th till April 14th. Rods to tackle, augers to the right winter clothes. Frontier Outfitters has what you need. You love to fish? A little bit of ice won't stand in your way. Upload your photos to their Facebook page now. Enter Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work trucks set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy. It's Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, where it's still like cold outside and cold in the studio. Yeah.
And we have a caller.
Do we still have a caller?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, caller, for hanging on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a question for you folks.
All right, go ahead.
What do you think about the ammo shortage that's kind of going on? Do you think that, it's kind of something that's made by the industry? It seems like the suppliers and distributors are having difficulties getting the ammo to the consumers. So prices are going up and ammo availability is less.
I don't know. I do know this. Like, there are cycles where we go through these ammo shortages anyways. So a lot of people would just chalk it up as the capitalism supply-demand thing.
We did it for Ukraine when they
Yeah. We had ammo shortages then, too, but that was more towards, like, military, like, calibers and stuff like that. But some people would say it's a metal shortage.
Uh-huh.
So
it's the raw materials.
I think it's the raw materials as well.
The nitrocellulose that's involved in the powder.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out. I think we're going to start experiencing a lot more shortages. I'm not like a conspiracy theorist or tinfoil hat guy, but you know, there's definitely some cause and effects that are happening with the whole Iran thing and the Straits of Hormuz. Now they're saying that we're going to start having famines and food shortages because of the amount of fertilizer, which is a byproduct of some of the oil petroleum manufacturing processes, are not being shipped out of there now. And so all these food producing countries are going to start having issues. But I've seen cycles with the ammo thing before. Like, I remember when
it was COVID time.
COVID time, but also during most election times, like when Obama came in, everybody was like started to hoard everything.
Biden came in.
Everybody started hoarding then.
Gas prices jumped with Ukraine. The food shortage.
Shipping issues because of gas going up or diesel fuel going up to $6 a gallon in some places.
And it's like funny.
I think we're going to start seeing everything going up, to be honest with you.
There's people we know who forget it's the last administrative. Everything went skyrocket, and they forget about that, and they expect the new president to fix everything right away. It takes time to fix everything right away.
Yeah. It's like a giant aircraft carrier. It takes a little while to turn it.
That was question number one. Question number two, and this is because you're kind of a Glock aficionado. What is, in your opinion, the best model of Glock that was produced, you know, between 1 and 6?
Okay. And why would you say I'm a Glock aficionado? Like,
he always talks Glock.
Well, I do, only because that's what I've tended to gravitate towards. Like, I'm literally going, part of the second half of this show is going to be talking about the HK VP9A1, but okay. I tend to gravitate towards a lot. Like, I have Smith & Wessons, I have Glocks, I have SIGs, I have HK. Like, I don't necessarily gravitate towards one or the other, but I would say out of all of them, the one that I do like the better is the Gen 5. That's about it. Now, Gen 3 was actually pretty good, but it didn't really have a really good RTF frame, you know, that rough texturized frame. So I would end up putting like a sandpaper sleeve on it, you know, on the grip, roughing it up a little bit, but
Talon grips or something.
Yeah. Like Talon grips.
All right.
Cindy loves a Gen 4.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy loves a Gen 4 because the finger grooves line up with her
little hand.
I wasn't going to say that, but they line up with her fingers perfect, whereas my fingers don't work very well in there. You know what I mean?
All right.
The Gen's not a model.
You guys go. Happy Easter.
Easter to you,
Ty,
too.
Ty just said the Gen's not a model.
I didn't say that, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. But anyway, yeah, we got another listener is like texting us. I don't know how did he get our personal number?
It's Ty. It pops up on the iPad. Technology.
Yeah. But, and then out of those, I would say it really is up. It's shooter dependent. I mean, I guess it would be difficult now to maybe find Gen 3s unless they were used.
I think it's.
I have a 24C Gen 1. But actually, no, it's a Gen 2.
Do you like it?
Yeah, that's the one we bought when we were living in Germany. So that was the one in Hanau, Germany.
That was the one he bought and said, hey, honey, this is for you. And it was hard for me to hang.
No, that was a Glock 26 that I had bought you.
Oh, Really?
That was because I really wasn't too much into the firearms instruction thing. I did the typical man thing at the end. I was uneducated then.
Yeah, it was a typical man thing.
It was a typical man thing. And I've told the story before about when I bought you the shotgun.
Yeah.
She wasn't happy about that for Christmas, but I was like, well, okay, can I take your gun out hunting?
You don't buy your wife guns and appliances for Christmas unless she asks for them. Now, I did get a couple guns for Christmas one year and a set of pearls. So I was happy.
Yeah, that's the other thing, guys. Don't buy your wife kitchen appliances, like, unless they specifically ask for them. Because you just basically told her, like, hey, you know where your place is. Go to the kitchen and play with your new blender.
That's
while you're in there, make me a sandwich.
Chuck's a cook in our house.
There's a reason for that. I got to digress. Like, there is a reason why I cook in our house. Would you like to share the story?
No, you share the story.
Because you don't remember the cherry pie you made? All right, so Cindy didn't even need readers at this time, right?
We were young. I was pregnant at the time.
Don't use that as an excuse. Cindy made a cherry pie and freaking grabbed the first spice she sees in the cabinet and thought it was cinnamon, but it was cumin.
Yes. And
that was the spiciest cherry pie I've ever had in my life. I'm like, what is wrong? And we had lasagna earlier, so I literally had thought that it was just like an aftertaste or something like that from the lasagna.
I did.
not that I like condone eating lasagna and then having like a cherry pie afterwards as a dessert. Like, it doesn't really mix either, but.
Women, you want your men to cook, just keep messing up and they'll take over the cooking.
Cindy does make decent soup sometimes.
And good salads.
You can't screw up a salad. Just cut up some lettuce, throw a tomato in there and stuff and throw dressing on it.
I am a really good baker.
I would even call making a salad cooking.
Yeah, I do. I can bake, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I am a good baker.
Pies are baking.
What, well, pies?
Cookies. Yeah, I am a good baking. That was a mistake. I grabbed the wrong one, and I've never lived it down.
No, because the next time you made ever, well, for the last 44 years now,
yeah,
I've asked, like, when she bakes something, it's like, all right, did we put cinnamon in it or did we put cumin? So she's right. There is the point that she hasn't been able to live it down.
Yes, yes. But it's okay.
That's what we call a self-induced problem.
Yeah.
But it's all good. All right. On to the next topic. And what was that going to be, Cindy?
You tell me.
Oh, yeah. Because I am a Glock aficionado, listener had stipulated. Yeah, I tend to gravitate towards the 19, although, like, I really like carrying the 48 now, which is basically almost the same dimensions as a 19, but it's a little bit it's slimmer, right? And then I put a Holosun EPS closed emitter red dot on there. So I'm good with that. But what they did is they changed on once they got into the Glock Gen 6, right? So they did kind of change the RTF on there. So that's their gripping system, where they hybrided it now. So it covers more of the surface area, includes the extended and textured thumb rest, right? Which literally for your support hand thumb or whatever would be like what some people would call the throttle, like in the competition shooting world, to where now you can like take your support hand thumb and drive it down onto the frame to help recover or manage your recoil a little bit better. They put a flat face trigger on there. Didn't really do anything for me. I do like, and I probably have said this before in the past as well, but you know, we always got new listeners. All right. So I do like the precision triggers that they do have. Now I do know that when they first came out, the first generation, I got a couple of them. They were 3.5 pound triggers, mm-hmm. But they were not, was it the National Institute of Justice certified? So they were not authorized for law enforcement carry. And then they came out with the Institute of Justice approved ones. There's the word I was looking for. That were actually 5 pound triggers, but they use the same setup, right? As far as the precision trigger. I actually like those, especially with the break in the reset.
You like the 5 pound trigger?
No, I like the 3.5 pound trigger. That it's almost similar to the same one that's in my 24C. And if you guys don't know, the 24C was a compensated long slide 40 Smith & Wesson. It's kind of rare. Like, I think Glock still makes runs of them, but they're only like 1,000 at a time. So it was kind of like their offshoot to the competition one that they made a 17 long slide. But anyways, and now they make like the 34 or whatever long slide, which I think they're also getting rid of. But here's what I do like. I got Cindy one of the H&K VP9A1s, which was just released here in 2025.
And I still have not shot that.
Oh, I know. I just put a note, I just got the slide in for the C&H Precision mount.
I'm hoping
so I could put a hollow sun on there for you.
Yes.
So we'll get you in there shooting it. Just dry practicing with it.
Yeah.
I like the trigger on that a lot better than even the Gen 6 Glock trigger. Like, it just feels better. And it's a smooth, like, to the pressure wall. Nice. Got it. The take-up's nice. Got it. And then that nice smooth break. It's not as, I guess the word would be like gummy, or it's not as like sluggish, I would say, as the Gen 6 Glock trigger break.
We'll have to take it out and try it. I've had hand surgery, so I've been having issues with my hands. So.
Well, and I get that. I get that. That's why, it's another one of those things that I buy for you, and it ends up becoming mine. Which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I get your approval.
I'll share with you.
I appreciate that. But also, it's my tacit way of getting your approval. So.
You don't need.
Honey, I bought you a new gun.
You don't need my approval.
To buy guns?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard it here on Shooter's Corner.
A certain Chuck budget.
Now we're going to add like rules on it.
There is rules. There's rules to everything in life. There's rules on the government.
All right. Well, we got to go into our last break here. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned with Chuck and Cindy here at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks. And it's still 66 degrees here in the studio. But we'll be right back here at 97.5, 660 AM.
Auto Trim Design has it all, from radios, speakers, amplifiers, moose lights, running boards, and step bars, to WeatherTech floor liners and mud flaps. And don't forget about the CompuStar remote starts, Arctic polyurea spray and bed liners, back racks, and ladder racks. Auto Trim Design also has Lear and ARE toppers and smart caps. All this and more at Auto Trim Design under the big American flag.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 33. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 9 above. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 33. Partly cloudy and dry Saturday and Sunday, with highs in the upper 30s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck and Cindy at Shooter's Corner. Here in Fairbanks, where it's still 16 or 17 degrees, who cares, because it's still 60, we're vacillating between 65 and 66 here in the studio. Teresa's having difficulty over there, like pushing buttons on the control panel.
She's got a frozen finger. It's frozen.
It's like, we got to go into a break. I'm like, I'm pushing the button and it's not happening. That's because electricity doesn't flow when it's cold. Oh my gosh, we're having way too much fun in here. And so what were we talking about? Oh, Glocks and VP9. Oh no, the last thing we were talking about before the break was Cindy said that I didn't need permission to buy guns. But and then she tried to throw in the stipulation that I did have a budget.
You do have a budget.
Yeah, so during the break I was on gunbroker.com.
There is a budget, dear.
It's a shopping thing. I got to call Craig. He's my gun dealer. See what kind of deals Craig can get me. But anyways,
Craig,
yeah,
there's a limit.
Yeah, don't listen to Cindy. So we were talking about the HK VP9 A1, which was released in 2025, and the Glock Gen 6 series. And I was talking about how I like the trigger actually better on the VP9. It's actually it's kind of cool. They did like a nickel Teflon coated trigger bar, which I was kind of explaining this earlier, that it was kind of a lighter take up, so a little bit different going to the pressure wall, and then a much more crisp single action break, and then actually has a really good positive reset. Not that you should necessarily feel that reset, because we've seen this with students in class. Remember with students that pin the trigger?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've always tried to drill into their head, reset on recoil. So you probably shouldn't really feel the reset. Just know how far your trigger finger needs to go back forward to be able to reset the trigger. Remember when Mass was talking about this as well? Masad Ayoub, when he came up for the class up here.
It took a little bit practice for me to get through that, to work on, just hitting to that point with your trigger when I first started.
Right. Well, we initially teach in our defensive handgun classes to pin the trigger and then just come forward to what reset is. And the purpose of that was for people to understand how far their trigger finger needed to move. And that's because you'll have newer shooters that will literally come all the way off the trigger.
And slap the trigger.
Sometimes, all the way up to the trigger guard, the front of the trigger guard, and then slap back at the trigger. And then what does it do? It changes their sight alignment, right? Their aim, which is sight alignment, sight picture. So huge that if they just know, hey, here's how far forward you need to go. Well, there's a problem with that, because under stress, you're probably not going to remember that if you haven't necessarily been training that and developed those neuromuscular pathways to say, hey, how far does my trigger finger need to go far, forward? Mass had actually a valid point, and now this is pretty much what I subscribe to as well. You don't need to necessarily know where your trigger finger or where your reset is. Just maintain positive contact with the trigger, and you can go a little bit forward into what we call the sloppy slack. Mm-hmm. Just maintain contact with the trigger, and then just remember that same mile per hour trigger press back through the pressure wall and into your brake, right? Meaning, don't slap the crap out of your trigger and change your sight alignment. Because as we know, the trigger is the last physical control you have over the projectile before it leaves the barrel of the gun, right?
Yes.
Your sights being that visual control. So if I don't slap at it, then it's not going to really matter. Now, we also understand that under stress, at self-defense ranges, right, maybe even 7 to 10 yards, if I slap at it, not grossly slap at it, but still have that good aim, meaning my dot center mass of whatever my threat is, or my front sight still center mass of what my threat is. If I have a little bit of a slap on it and I have a deviation of 3 to 4 inches, am I still getting energy in the center mass of my target? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Now, graduate that out to a 50-yard shot or something like that with a dot. Now you might be hitting down between their legs or into the ground, right? Distance translates, deviation. But for self-defense ranges, not going to make that big of a difference. So just press the trigger as fast as you need to get that kinetic energy on whatever your threat is and stop the threat. So
when you go into the range and you go to, let's say, just do some practice shooting, you go in, do you automatically just take your handgun and just start bang, bang, bang? Or do you really focus and take your time?
I'm
sure your hands position, even though you've done it thousands of times. Make sure your hands position, make sure everything's lined up, your light where you want it, your red dot.
I do, because I'm a huge subscriber of perfect practice makes perfect, right? So just slow it down, get the fundamentals down correctly. And that's kind of what separates good shooters or expert shooters from novice shooters, is that the pros are the best do the basics better, right? So work on the fundamentals and the basics, build that, and then naturally everything else is going to fall into place, especially when we get in a stressful situation where you literally transition from reasonable thinking, like that prefrontal cortex, to amygdala, right? Now all of a sudden you're operating with a monkey brain. Your body's going to like just go back to what it was programmed to do. And if you program it properly to where it has developed those neuromuscular pathways, that's what it's going to go to. And so, you know, to answer your question, yes. When you are practicing, do everything slow. You know, maybe not necessarily have a timer to start out with, to where you develop that foundation. Then put a timer on it and see what parts you fall apart. Then you work on those parts.
And that's always nice to have a friend to go to the range with you to, you know,
yeah.
Run the timer. Or,
and if you don't have a friend to go with you, like take a small tripod or something like that and put your iPhone on you and video record yourself. And you'll literally start to see where maybe you fall apart. Probably the biggest thing, especially with newer shooters, is reestablishing a good firing grip after you've had to do a reload, like maybe a slide lock reload or a
malfunction
attack reload. Malfunctions, exactly. So they break their grip doing a malfunction clearance, and then they don't reestablish that good firing grip again. There's like a gap in between their thumbs, or there's a gap in between, you know, their support hand and their firing hand. So they don't have that solid master grip. And then you see it on the subsequent shots after. Right. It's like all of a sudden now their dots got more recoil in it, or, you know, it's like tracking up to the 1 to 2 o'clock position and then not coming back down onto the target like they wanted it to. So, yeah. All that to say, I like the HK trigger better than the Glock Gen 6.
All right. That was a long way around.
A long way to get there.
A long way to get there.
Yeah.
But we got there.
Yeah. So they also have, I like the, you know, the HK VP9A1 also kind of followed the suit of Glock and did the flared magwell. I like, and I haven't really trained on a lot because my firing hand thumb is still programmed to press the magazine release.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the VP9 has what we would call an ambidextrous, right? Already built in.
Yeah.
Because the mag release is now at the bottom of the trigger guard. Right. So you could either hit it with either hand. The VP9 also has the slide lock lever on the left and the right side automatically, kind of like how the Glock automatically does now. But I like that mag, almost got that magazine release down. So it's a little bit better.
It just takes practice.
It takes, right. Right.
A lot so of it's practice. Just, dry but
here's
practice
what I don't do.
Home.
So I'll practice with that. Let's say I was going to hypothetically transition to the VP9 being my carry gun.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only thing that I would operate then. Here's kind of the problem, and you see this inherently with like law enforcement and some other self-defense carriers, right, armed citizens, is they'll have a gun for Monday, a gun for Tuesday, and then they'll have a church gun, all three of them being different operating systems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God gun, right, because God invented the 1911, and that's God's cartridge. Jeff Cooper said so. That's my Sunday gun. Well, you just changed your operating system from the Glock or the HK that you carry on Monday through Saturday, because your slide is going to be different. By the way, you just added a safety to it, right? And now your presentation is going to be totally different because on a 1911, your firing hand thumb rides on top of the safety, not underneath it. Because after a couple rounds, you might accidentally kick that safety on, and you'll be like, "Oh my God, my gun's malfunctioning." God's gun's not supposed to do that. It didn't. You malfunctioned. But anyways, well, we had a great show.
We did. And
got 30 seconds.
It's Easter coming up on Sunday, and we just want everybody to really enjoy your family time and be safe.
Yeah.
This holiday.
So, if you're in church, just remember what we're there for.
Yeah.
He is risen. and then just remember ACHP for C4 Training Group coming up. April 11th and 12th, and all the other announcements you might have missed.
Shout out to my sweet friend Dana. You're in our prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, everybody. We'll be back next Thursday here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM. Everybody have a great weekend and stay safe.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening to Shooter's
Your Corner. Voice.